It's Giants week, and today's show, we're going to dive into the matchups to see how the Eagles stack up against Big Blue.
I'll show you why I think the Eagles' defense will be able to get to Eli Manning and disrupt the Giants' passing game.
And I will show you how Michael Vick and the offense can take advantage of the Giants' defense.
And as he does every week, head coach Chip Kelly is going to join me right here to dive into the coach's tape. Eagles' game plan starts right now. Welcome to Eagles Game Plan, and as my friends do every week here, Mike Quick, Ike Reese, joins me, Brian Baldinger. And guys, let's look back at last week's debacle in Denver. Mike, you were on that plane ride coming home. We've all been there after a devastating defeat.
Yeah.
How do you rebound? How do you start building some confidence?
Yeah, first of all, it's not pleasant. The plane ride home, just the whole feeling at the end of that football game is very unpleasant, but I think you really have to just get back to basics. You know, the basic fundamentals of the game, blocking and tackling, making sure that you cross the T's, you dot your I's when it comes to your assignment, and just getting back to the fundamentals. To me, that's what you have to do. Put that game behind you and move forward.
I tell you what, Baldy, you give up 52 points to the Denver Broncos, you should be a little ticked off, you should be a little irritated, but at the same time, you got to see the big picture here. A lot of football still left to play, and they're still in the thick of this thing. They got to get back on the saddle.
We've just finished the first quarter of the season. It's been a disappointing finish to it, but there is a second quarter, and I just think each guy has to look at the responsibility and how they can play better, because that's what it comes down to, just individuals playing better, being more responsible for their assignments and for their effort. And if they all do that collectively, this thing can turn around. All right, guys, let's turn our attention to the New York Giants, the winless New York Giants. Ike, let's look at a matchup here that you're going to be looking at during this game.
This will surprise no one, Baldy. We're talking about who's going to match up with Victor Cruz, the Salsa King, one of the best wide receivers in the National Football League, the Giants' leading receiver. They move him all around in the formation. The slot is where they love to get him at. And the matchup between he and second-year cornerback Brandon Boykin will be a definite key matchup in this game. Brandon has his work cut out for him this week. Let's take a look at the Giants here in a 3-by-1 set with Victor Cruz lined up in the slot to the right. The Giants do a lot of things with Cruz from this position, and in many situations, we see him being used as a deep threat down the field. On this play, though, you'll see the Giants use one of their favorite schemes to get him the ball in space. This is going to be a simple rub route with tight end Brandon Myers running vertically up the field and Cruz running a quick slant behind him. Myers' route serves as a simple interference, allowing Cruz to use his quickness to create space between himself and the defensive back to give Eli all the room in the world he needs to get him the football. Boykin has been tested throughout the first four games, but his toughest matchup of the year will certainly come on Sunday afternoon when he lines up across from number 80.
First and 10. Vick fakes to McCoy. He's back. He looks. He fires. Complete to Selleck, who breaks a tackle at the 40 and comes down to the Broncos 35.
As we do every week, we welcome in the head coach of the Eagles, Chip Kelly. And Chip, there's a couple plays here. I mean, Denver really decided they wanted to spy Mike Vick. Mm-hmm. And there were some plays, really from the opening play of the game, where Wesley Woodyard right here is a spy. And you can kind of tell us a little bit about, you know, the play and the design right here of how you're attacking it.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of times because of how we run the ball so effectively here, if Mike were to pull it, his option is to throw a bubble screen over here. So we're showing him the same scheme on this side, so it looks just like our run play, but it's actually a play-action pass where Brent's got a deep cross over here, and then LeSean's got a post on the backside. So Mike went through his progression. His progression was 1, 2, and 3, and went through it in perfect order. We give him a clean pocket from a protection standpoint, and he throws a great ball to Brent in stride. We got a huge gain.
I mean, from the end zone right here, you can see what Woodyard is doing right now. They're actually looking right at Mike, kind of reading him the whole way right here. So there's a progression, 1, 2, and then Selleck breaking free over the middle. So,
and I think one of the things that happens when you have Mike as a weapon is that people will defend you differently. And I would do the same thing because of his ability to run. So, you know, now you're taking an aggressive linebacker that instead of making him a downhill fill run guy, he's always worried about the threat of the quarterback, and that helps you.
In the run game, it was the same thing. I mean, they were spying Mike, and so it really opened up some things. I mean, here's Woodyard right here. You got an inside zone read right now. And Mike is just going to basically read two guys playing him. It's really going to open up a play for LeSean in the run game.
It is. We're just running your base inside zone, and Mike's responsibility is to block this defender, and he blocks this defender by, if the defender bites and tackles the running back, then Mike's going to be out the gate on the backside. We got a great double team up to that linebacker. We had a great double team up to that linebacker, and we got a double team up to the safety. So the numbers match up for us in the middle, and then you got to be able to control the overhang player. Defensively, you want to get one more in the box, and you think you should be able to shut it down, but the one more in the box is controlled by Mike. So, you know, it's almost pick your poison between Mike and LeSean.
And the key right here is really the way these double teams are being executed right now. You're getting movement right here. You're pushing them up to the linebacker. And so now LeSean is one-on-one with the safety right here and just about jumped over Raheem Moore there to keep that thing going.
Yeah, we just told him a little bit, as I wish LeSean, trust your speed and outrun this guy.
Yeah.
You know, this kid's got a big fear right now, but we're making his life easier by running back at him. And LeSean wants this one back. Hit it and come out the other side. The touchdown he scored in the Chiefs game, hit it and come out the other side. And I think he's getting better at that. And I think we left more yards on the field after watching the tape on Sunday in situations like this, and we just got to do a better job of that.
You're exactly right, Chip. There's a lot more yards right here. I mean, just based on this, he's gotten past all of the soup right here.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's out there in space, and that's what this thing is all built around, getting in space and getting your elite athletes against theirs and winning.
That's what we want to do. We want to get speed in space, and if we can get this guy in space, we're in pretty good shape because he's a hell of a running back.
Defensively, Chip, you got the big man here, Cliff Gathers. I think he does a good job on the nose right here of really tying up the offensive lineman, the center in this case, and the left guard, and really freeing up your linebacker here, D'Amico Ryans, on this particular play.
Mm-hmm. One thing that Cliff is he's extremely stout because of his size and can really eat up blockers so that D'Amico and Michael can run. And D'Amico does a great job of playing off of him. If we're going to slant Clifton to the backside A, then we're going to put D'Amico into the frontside A. And I think Cliff does a great job of tying up two blockers and allowing D'Amico to run free and make the play.
Well, he's got tremendous wingspan. He's got size. And because at 340, I mean, you're just not going to move him off the ball right now.
No. And that's part of what you're looking for in your defensive line. You know, when you got Cliff and Soap and then you had Fletcher Cox and Cedric Thornton and Benny Logan playing well for us. You know, I think that group's doing a really good job of tying people up front.
It wasn't just Cliff Gathers either. I thought Ced Thornton played with a great deal of energy in this game. He played the nose. He played the five technique. But taking on some pretty big guys here, Lando Franklin, Luis Vazquez right here, it really freed up linebackers to go make some plays.
Ced has really, really come along since Coach Az has got here with him. Maybe our most productive defensive lineman right now. I think he had five tackles on Sunday. He plays with great energy, real student of the game, works extremely hard at it. Really excited about the future, Ced.
Well, here he is holding the point. You got 700 pounds over here on the right side of the Denver's line. He holds the point, frees things up. But in addition to this, though, I just thought his effort chasing plays, getting back to the football, doubling back, because when you get to the ball, obviously good things can happen.
Yeah, and that's what Ced does. He does a great job of holding off two blockers, but you know he still needs to be able to disengage and get off the blocks, and Ced's really good at that. And obviously being able to fall back in like that and make the tackle is what we're teaching on the defensive front, but I think he's doing a hell of a job with it. It's a lot easier said than done.
Well, it is, but going forward here, is these kind of plays play to play that you got to just string together? Just string them together, and you're going to have a lot more success on both sides of the ball.
Exactly. It's a consistency thing. I think at times when you watch it, they can execute it, and they understand what we need to get done, but now you need to do it on a consistent basis, and that's what takes you from, you know, being an average team to being a really good team, is that you can consistently count on your guys making those plays.
Coming up on the show, what do the Eagles need to do to get after Eli Manning? We'll answer that and more when the Eagles game plan returns. Eagles game plan is brought to you by Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment. Sports Authority, for all things sporting good. And by NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy. Welcome back to Eagles Game Plan, and Ike, it's time to take a look at this Giants offensive line. It's not what it has been because they're not protecting Eli Manning very well right now.
Yeah, and you know, you're talking about giving up 14 sacks already in four games. Eli Manning, any quarterback is not going to feel safe in the pocket if he's looking over his shoulder for hits.
Well, against Carolina when they got beat 38-0, here's Charles Johnson right here, Greg Hardy. They're coming off the edge. Just a four-man rush against a six-man protection, and they get to Eli Manning.
Yeah, and you can tell he feels it. I mean, as a quarterback, his job is to sense the pressure coming, but this just happens too fast. I mean, you look at Hardy here on the outside. Eli doesn't have a chance to step up in the pocket and get rid of this football.
Well, I mean, you got a rookie right tackle in Justin Pugh right here. You got Will Beatty, who's, you know, not one of the more elite players of that position in the league. I mean, you got to watch this tape and go, we got to win some one-on-ones. We got to get to Eli this week.
And when you're talking about Eli's blind side, that left tackle, Beatty has to be the best lineman there.
But what is happening right now to Eli, I think, Ike, is because he's been hit so much and sacked so frequently right now, his mechanics aren't real strong.
Yeah, and it happens to every quarterback. You hit him enough times, they're going to start taking shortcuts through the proper technique of playing the quarterback position. And what I mean by this is that they don't tend to follow through with the throws. They don't step into the throws, or they're worried about being hit.
Well, I mean, this is a five-man pressure right now. He actually has good protection, but he feels ghosts. They don't teach these mechanics at the Manning Academy in the offseason, because he's going to throw this off his back foot and really miss a shot for a big play. What this whole offense is built upon, getting the ball down the field to a trio of pretty good receivers. From the sideline, you're going to see, like, that's Reuben Randall. I mean, he gets inside here, and he's on a go route right now. This whole offense is built around big plays. He's got what he wants.
That should be a touchdown.
There's right no there. Safety right there. He's got a whole lot of green in between, but he's been hit a lot. He feels it, and now he's rushing his throws, and really the Eagles have to take advantage of it this week, I think.
Yeah, and you can't overemphasize enough, Baldy, the amount of hits Eli has taken so far this year and the effects it has on a quarterback playing that position. You take enough hits, believe me, you're going to start to short arm some throws, overthrow guys, see ghosts like you mentioned a second ago. It's the perfect way to affect the quarterback. It's not all about sacks. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just about getting the amount of hits on.
It's all about the hits, and they can have them keep on coming.
Don't fall asleep on the Giants' offense just because this team is 0-4. Eli Manning is a veteran quarterback, and there are a number of staples in the Giants' offense that you have to defend. And I want to start with one in particular. It's their ISO lead run game, which they normally run to the weak side. What they do really well is play action off of that. And in fact, very early in their first game of the year against the Dallas Cowboys, they did just that. You see the straight eye formation. You see the play action. It's ISO lead to the weak side. You see the linebackers step up, which opens up the passing lane. You see at the bottom of the screen, Hakeem Nicks. He's going to run an in-breaking route. The Cowboys go with late rotation from a two-deep shell to single high. So the corner over Nicks, Morris Claiborne, he bails. That gives Nicks a free release to run his in-breaking route. Manning has plenty of time in the pocket. Easy throw becomes a 57-yard gain. That's one thing you have to be very aware of against the Giants receivers. They are very good running after the catch if you give them room. Another thing you have to really be concerned about with the Giants pass game is the way they attack quarters coverage. Now, in quarters coverage, the safeties have both a run and pass responsibility. So because of that, you can get the corners isolated man-to-man. The Giants did that against the Denver Broncos. Look at the tight end Brandon Myers. Victor Cruz is on the same side as Myers. Myers will run a vertical route directly at the safety. The safety is responsible for Myers in coverage. So what does that do? It leaves Cruz man-to-man, one-on-one, with the corner Chris Harris. Cruz is a very deceptive vertical route runner. He's not a pure burner, but he shows great ability to get vertical and get over the top of corners. Here, he does that running a deep post. They eat up the safety with the tight end. They get Cruz over the top with the deep post. Manning makes a beautiful throw, a 51-yard gain. So we've just seen two explosive plays over 50 yards. You have to be very concerned about this with the Giants. And Eli Manning is a quarterback more than willing to pull the trigger. He's not gun-shy about letting it loose. So you have to be very careful. Explosive plays with the Giants' offense can happen anytime.
This portion of Eagles Game Plan was brought to you by Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment. Next up, we're going to take a look at the Giants' defense and show you exactly how the Eagles can attack it. So don't go anywhere. Eagles Game Plan will be right back. Welcome back to Eagles Game Plan. And Mike, your specialty here is really looking at this Giants secondary that's been banged up. Stevie Brown out for the year. So Ryan Mundy right here is now the free safety.
Yep.
And really, this cover three look right now, I mean, they're going to attack him with just a post-dig combination, try to high-low that free safety. I mean, pretty popular combination against that look.
Baldy, this is where they really miss Stevie Brown, mm-hmm. because just watch the head of the safety. He pays a lot of attention to the dig route,
yep.
but no attention to the backside of him. He's really focused on getting to the weak side, getting to the dig route. Well, where he needs to be focused is right here.
Yep.
Again, running down on the post route.
Giants defense has some problems. It's also the first time the Eagles have seen a 4-3 defense, Mike, and they play a zone behind it. I mean, I think this is perfect for the spread offense to attack.
Ball, that we've seen the Eagles stretch teams from sideline to sideline with a three-man front. Mm-hmm. This is the first time we're going to see against a four-man front, meaning that they're going to take one of those 250-pound linebackers off the field, put onto the field one of those big 300-pounders. Mm-hmm. Let's see if the Eagles can take advantage of that. Perfect example, week three against the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers come out in the Eagles' favorite package, 11 personnel, with a running back, a tight end, three wide receivers on the outside. This is going to be a simple sweep, a play we've seen the Eagles run all year with LeSean McCoy and Bryce Brown. You're going to see the tight end block down on the defensive end, both tackles and guard pull to the outside. Look at the great job both these linemen do getting to the second level on the linebackers. It's a hat on a hat on the play side, and on the back side you have two defensive linemen trailing the play. D'Angelo Williams gets a good block downfield, and he's able to take this for a 27-yard gain on first down.
This portion of Eagles Game Plan was brought to you by Sports Authority, official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles and the American Red Cross are teaming up for the 6th annual Eagles Blood Drive. For more information on how you can participate, visit PhiladelphiaEagles.com or call 1-800-RED-CROSS. Welcome back to Eagles Game Plan. And guys, it's our final segment, a segment we call Three and Out. Let's get final thoughts here as we get ready for the Giants.
Well, you know, it's apparent, like last week's game, you cannot trade field goals for touchdowns. You've got to score touchdowns, especially when you get into the red zone. That area, you've got to be key. You've got to be very sharp, much shorter zone to work with, that red zone. So everything has to be crisp, on point when you get in the red zone. They've got to score more touchdowns.
Got to fix the red zone. Mike, Ike, for you.
I mean, the Eagles have to make sure they receive their invitation to the turnover party. I mean, Eli Manning and this offense leading the league in turnovers. Mm-hmm. Eagles have to take advantage of this. No turnovers last week versus the Broncos for this defense. They need to get pressure on Manning with their front four, put seven back in coverage, and force him to fit the ball in tight spaces. And when he's errant with his throws, the Eagles defense had to take advantage of it.
Mike, I think the offensive line has to step up as a group, because I know that when you protect Mike Vick and you open the holes for LeSean, this offense jumps, and 30 points gets up on the board, and that's what they're going to need to do this week against the defensive line of the Giants right now, that they've got 3 sacks in 4 games. They look non-existent. Keep the sleeping Giants sleeping, all right, and come out of here with a win. For Ike Reese and Mike Quick, I'm Brian Baldinger. We'll be back here next week as we preview the winless Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Eagles Game Plan is brought to you by Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment. Sports Authority, for all things sporting good. And by NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
For more than 18 years, Eagles Youth Partnership and the Philadelphia Eagles have served the children of our community. Our signature programs and annual Eagles Playground Build provide kids in need with vital vision care, literacy programming, and safe spaces in which to learn, grow, and play. All year long, Eagles Youth Partnership and our partners are improving the lives of kids who deserve nothing less. Proud of our team, proud of our city, proud of our kids, and grateful to our partners, we are Eagles Youth Partnership. Thanks for being a part of our team.